Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
It is. I love this time. Sex therapy.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Oh, yes, as always, that is your little ears warning. And remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. But our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook, is here to talk through all your problems. And today we have open marriage, hot tub heartbreak, and a whole lot more. Rachel, how are you?
I'm really good, Lottie. How about you?
I am excellent this morning. Will we kick it off with open marriage?
Go on.
Okay, I'm going to just read an email that we got in. This says, "Hi Jen and Rachel, I need help. I've been married to a wonderful man for over a decade. He is the most fantastic partner and father, and we often talk about our plans for our future. All my friends are jealous of our marriage, and for me, it's 95%, except for one issue. I'm not sexually attracted to my husband, and I haven't been for many years. And if I'm being completely honest, I don't think I ever was. I've buried the sexual side of myself for years, telling myself I'm just not a sexual person, but I've been lying to myself. For many months now, I've been fantasizing about meeting someone, being kissed and wanted. It's made me think, am I capable of an affair? Something I would have judged others for in the past, but my husband's not a sexual person. We go months without sex, and when we do have sex, I'm simply doing my duty. I want to ask my husband for an open marriage, and I don't know how to do it. I know it'd break his heart, and I know the open part would most probably only be for me. If he says no, that's it. The cat's out of the bag and our relationship will never be the same. I want to make him see that in my mind, nothing about our marriage will change as we currently do not have a sex life. And there's still no one in the world I'd rather spend my life with. I recently reconnected with an old friend who I am very attracted to. Do I pursue a sexual relationship with this other man behind my husband's back or confess I want an open marriage? I'm so confused. I can't sleep. I'm sick even trying to think about this. I feel like the biggest piece of SH1T in the world, but I can't go on like this. Please give me some advice from Anonymous."
Jesus, God, I really feel for this person. This is, that sounds like it must be just, it's really cutting them up. They're obviously really suffering over this. And I want to start by saying that, you know, you're definitely not alone. Increasing numbers of people are acknowledging that they don't have a strong sexual connection with their long-term partner. You know, sometimes there was never sexual attraction and sometimes it simply changed and lessened a lot over time. For some people in relationships that fluctuates, it goes up and down at different times. But for some people over the course of years and decades, you know, as this person has come to the realization that they're just, it's just not there, that part of their connection, you know. And I cannot stress to begin, you know, to sort of start kind of working through this with how much better it will be to be honest than it will be to cheat. You know, this person sounds like an empathic, considerate person. So, you know, she'll be racked with guilt and probably find managing the deception really stressful and probably destructive. So I would say the first step to an open relationship is transparency. You know, then your partner can make an informed decision. And the time to talk about this is, you know, not directly after an argument, not when either of you are feeling really stressed and tired. It's to find a window of time when things are going well, when you're both feeling pretty connected, and just sit down and talk about, you just say you want to have a conversation about your relationship and say, talk about what you appreciate, what's currently working, and talk about how you'd like to discuss, not necessarily that you want to go ahead with it right away, but that you want to discuss what expanding your relationship into open territory might look like. And then you can start to kind of figure out what that might look for both of you. I would say don't tell your husband that nothing will change, because you can't guarantee that, actually. You know, you can talk about how much you value him as a person and the relationship that you have. And you can certainly put lots of sort of boundaries and agreements in place. But I would not recommend saying that there's no way that things will change. You know, he may well be hurt. He may well be even heartbroken. And he might be distraught about this, but also he can already feel on some level that you're unhappy and that you're suffering. Also, the fact that this person person is saying that her husband is not a sexual person, he may well be in a very similar position. Possibly he hasn't felt attracted to her over these years and it'll be a massive relief, you know. So that's another possibility, that actually you'll both find out that it's the best thing you've ever done, to decide that, you know, most likely it sounds like, because there's a lot of love and care in this relationship, these people will continue to stay together, but that there are tons of ways that they can discuss how to make that work for both of them, so that they're just having a better time and have the least amount of kind of upset inside of doing this. You know, read books, go to workshops on non-monogamy separately and together, ideally work with a therapist or a non-monogamy coach. There's more and more of those, especially online. And so there's just tons of options for these people here. There's no way that they need to be feeling so much distress.
But she sounds like she says there's no one she'd rather spend the rest of her life with. So she sounds like she does not want to lose him. But I think she needs to accept that that's a very real possibility if she's going to bring this up with him.
Totally, Lottie, that's right. And the thing is, you know, she's also suggesting that she go behind her husband's back and cheat, which also presents a very real, you know, risk that you will lose your partner if and when they find out that that's the case. Because again, if this person starts cheating on her husband, the husband is, you know, they've been together for years. Even if he's not a particularly sensitive and attuned person, he's probably still going to pick up on things being, you know, different, whether it's that she has a much bigger pep in her step, whether it's that she's, you know, more stressed about the lies that she's having to tell and seeming kind of withdrawn or avoidant because of that. You know, it's just incredibly unlikely to go well. Also, I would say, just because you've figured out that you fancy someone from your past or someone that you work with or whatever it is, that's probably not the ideal person to start being open with once you've discussed it with your husband, because I would say starting on kind of level ground where neither of you has someone in mind is generally a better idea, because it's often much more hurtful for the other partner when this is brought up for the first time because you've already found someone you want to sleep with. You know, so I would say probably put this person, you know, it's fine to have a crush on this person or whatever, but I would not, you know, kind of bank on that being the person who you open your relationship up with. And yeah, she might be right that it turns out that it's only her who ends up being, you know, who ends up engaging in non-monogamy, and that her husband doesn't engage sexually with anyone else. But also you can't know that because you don't have a crystal ball. So I would say get talking.
Yeah, it's an awkward chat, but one you probably have to do. This next question, Rachel, I'm going to give it the title of Crouching Hot Tub Closed Fanny.
Ooh.
Okay, let me read this to you. I recently went away with my boyfriend to an Airbnb that had a hot tub, and things got pretty steamy in there. We both wanted to have sex in there, but when it came to it, we couldn't get it in. It was like my vagina had closed up. Are there reasons for this? Is it harder to have sex in water? I'd love to be able to make hot tub sex happen in the future.
Okay, so lots of people enjoy some sort of aquatic sex.
Aquatic sex! I love it.
You know, being water babies. But I think there's something, you know, basically water, despite being wet, is a really ineffective lubricant. So what it does is displaces the natural lubricant that a vulva produces, vagina produces. Yes. So most people are really surprised that, you know, whether it's shower sex is a bit easier because often it doesn't totally wash away, depending on the position you're in, it doesn't wash away all of your natural wetness. But if you're in a bath or a hot tub or the sea or a pool, generally those will have a very, very drying effect. And especially hot tubs or pools, because they're generally treated with chlorine or other chemicals to prevent the water from becoming a petri dish of bacteria. Those chemicals will have a very drying effect on the skin. And so obviously dryness makes penetration difficult. So that seems the most likely culprit for what this person's describing. So silicone lube is your best option. So that's oil-based lube, because we have oil-based lube and we have water-based lube. And those things can be, you know, good for different reasons. People will often use oil-based lube, you know, in general, if they're having sex without condoms, because oil-based lube can break down the materials in condoms. So that's when you would use water-based lube. And some people just prefer the feel of water-based lubes. But anyway, this person here sounds like silicone lube is your best option if you really want to have sex in a hot tub. However, I would still say there's many reasons not to. You know, those chemicals required to keep a hot tub safe heighten the risk of vaginal pH imbalance, which can lead to yeast infections, which is thrush, or bacterial vaginosis, which is no joke. And then if you are using condoms, the chemicals and the heat can both degrade the condoms as well. So you'd want to make sure that you've both been screened for STIs and have a backup method for birth control. Unless, of course, you're hoping to try and have a baby, in which case hot tubs should be avoided because high heat is quite bad for sperm. So that's another one that's not a total myth. But yeah, so I would say it is possible, but maybe you might want to just stay away from penetration and just do everything else and have a nice time.
But as always, lube is the answer.
Lube is the answer. Lube is at least partly the answer, and it's certainly the first port of call.
So next title, Rachel, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Slippery when wet.
Okay.
I've been hooking up with a guy I'm really into. We're having a great time getting to know each other. The only issue comes during penetrative sex. His penis slips out of me in the middle of sex. We have to pause to get it back in, which obviously frequently kills the build-up. I've never experienced this before, even with partners whose penises have been smaller than his. We've tried a few different positions, me on top, spooning, missionary, but with my hips on a pillow for a better angle, everything, but it still happens multiple times every session. Are there any ideas or solutions that we're missing here?
Yeah, so I would. So this person hasn't mentioned that the partner has a curved penis, because sometimes that can be the case where it's just simply the angle at which someone, because it's very common to have a curved penis, which can happen naturally. That's just the way a penis develops. Or it can also come from accidents or certain kinds of illness that can happen as well. But yeah, it sounds like it's not to do with it being curved. But if it was, then you just have to find sort of positions that work better and be imaginative about it. But it sounds like one potential factor is the hardness. Although, again, it hasn't been mentioned. Some people just naturally get much harder penises when they're erect than others. So if his penis is on the softer side, which doesn't necessarily at all mean that he's not turned on, it just might be that that's his body and how it works. But if his penis is on the softer side, it might tend to slip out. So, you know, in this case, some people will choose to use medication that could be, you know, whether it's the well-known ones like Viagra or Cialis or whatever, or, you know, there's other things out there these days. But, you know, that might be a good idea to talk to a doctor to get an idea of the risks and costs associated. Another possibility is just how bodies are shaped. You know, sometimes this person has said it's never happened to them before, but it could just be that your vaginal muscles might be pushing his penis out during contractions, which tends to happen during orgasm, and that can also occur
possible?
In response. Yeah, it is. It's definitely possible. Some people have much stronger muscles in their vagina. And sometimes, again, it's just to do with the mix of two people.
So she could just have a super powerful vagina.
She might do. Wow. Or it might simply be that, you know, the way that their two bodies connect, sometimes weird things happen. And you just have to see it as like, right, well, this is a, you know, it's sort of a challenge. But it might be that you try, if you're using lube, you might try reducing the amount of lube and see if that helps. It's possible that more lube could even help, even though that might sound counterintuitive. That's another one. Then, you know, so I would say, you know, you're basically kind of trying to find a balance between getting like rug burn and then total slip and slide. So trying to kind of figure out what level of wetness might work better for the two of you together. And then the other thing that's coming to my mind is the thrusting range. So if he's pulling out almost all the way out of you, or you're pulling out almost all the way out of him, the likelihood of slippage is higher. So you might experiment with deeper penetration, exploring kind of different sensations, like stimulation of, you know, the kind of more deeper parts of the vagina, so that you're just not thrusting in and out quite so much, so that there's just less likelihood of falling out. So yeah.
I'd say practice makes perfect, essentially.
Practice makes perfect. But if none of those suggestions really change your situation, you know, all's not lost. You can look for ways to get that same intensity of penetration with toys and fingers. And, you know, sex can be a beautiful bit of play that doesn't have to revolve around penetration of penis in vagina or penis in anus.
So moving on now, mental health versus orgasm goals. Okay.
Okay.
So, Rachel, any advice surrounding orgasming on an SSRI from a cis woman? Have been taking SSRIs for 2 years now and think I've fallen prey to the orgasm dampening side effects that SSRIs are known for, whether it's with a partner or if I'm on my own. I can feel really turned on, but as soon as I physically engage, it's like someone has turned the volume way down on the sensation. If I do manage to struggle my way to an orgasm, it's underwhelming. Obviously, I don't want to change my meds. I like wanting to be alive more than I need to come, but I feel like it's a big itch I can't scratch in my life. Is there any way to realign my physical reactions to get the release that my mind is craving?
Love this question. You know, it's not talked about a huge amount. You know,
I actually have never heard this being asked.
Okay, so SSRIs, that stands for Selective Serotonin Reuptake Inhibitor. And that's basically a class of drugs typically used as an antidepressant. So a lot of people who are on antidepressants will be taking some form of SSRI.
Okay.
And it's very common for people of all genders, all genitals, for that to potentially lower libido, make people find it harder to become aroused, find it harder to orgasm or ejaculate. So that's pretty common and is one of the big downsides of SSRIs. It doesn't happen for everyone, and sometimes it can be sort of sporadic or cyclical as to how it, whether it impacts you in that way, but it's definitely quite a common side effect. So this person has got some options. As they've said, it's more important that you know, they're not feeling depressed, and by the sounds of it, they have been suicidal. So it's obviously more important that they are feeling mentally well than it is for them to be able to orgasm. But, you know, orgasm and sex and sexual arousal is a big part of many people's lives and something that they find very enriching and important in their lives. So, you know, it's a very good question to want to not, you know, to figure out if there's a way to have both of those things, to feel mentally well and also have your sex life. So you've got some options, but I would say this person needs to talk with a medical professional before they make any changes. Have a conversation with the doctor who prescribes you your SSRI and see if they might be able to recommend you one that is, you know, either that you can change the dose, you might be able to lower that. Or it might be that they suggest that you take a different one that is less likely to cause sexual issues. So, yeah. And then for some people, I'm not suggesting that people do this without medical advice. But for some people, pausing your SSRI usage for a day or two before sex, whether that's solo or with a partner, can be something that can do. But you definitely need the support of at least one doctor treating you in order to do that. But yeah, so then I would say, you know, doing things like if adjusting your medication isn't an option, you might try a vibrator with basically more power, you know, using something like a magic wand. You're saying, you know, this person is saying that they use toys, which is great. And obviously it sounds
sorry,
like,
what's a magic wand?
So a magic wand is one of those. I think they were originally a Japanese sort of basically a muscle massager that someone figured out was amazing for to use as a vibrator. So it doesn't go internal. It has quite a big head. It basically looks like a massive microphone, and they are very, very powerful. And they will have, you know, a gauge on them, a dial, so that you can have them on quite a low setting or an incredibly going up to usually an incredibly powerful setting.
Jesus, sounds like you could hurt yourself.
Well, they're just vibrating. They're actually surprisingly safe because because they're not going in any way inside you, and the head of the thing itself is not actually kind of moving a lot. It just has an internal vibration to it.
Okay.
So it's very, very like unlikely that someone will harm themselves using it. And most people find them incredibly enjoyable. So if this person hasn't used a magic wand, I would recommend going and researching those and buying one of those. Yeah. And you can thank me later. But yeah, so that's, I would say, you know, it might help them to think of exploring their body all over again, you know, that they kind of imagine that they're exploring their sort of sexual erotic selves for the first time and sort of just basically start from basics with different kinds of sensation and movements and activities that you engage with both alone and with a partner. And, you know, when you have a partner, that you can kind of talk to them about sort of starting this process again, whether or not you disclose that that's about the medication that you're taking. I think that it will be very helpful if you use, you know, sort of start again. You know, another toy that you might they might use is the kind of sonic clit suckers. Those things can be absolutely incredible. A lot of them are also water resistant or waterproof, so you can use them in the bath or the hot tub or whatever else. And those things basically blow air onto your clit, but in a way that makes it feel like your clit's being sucked. So that's another really, really good one.
Well, I have a funny feeling that sales for magic wands and clit suckers just went through the roof. Can't believe I just said clit suckers. Rachel, thank you so much. As always, a wealth of knowledge. You can follow Rachel on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook. But remember, you can message her and end up on air with us, or you can email us 24/7 with your questions, jen@rte.ie, with anything about whatever. About who you're with, about yourself, about your hairy bits, about your non-hairy bits, whatever it is, clit suckers, magic wands, get in touch with us and the team 24/7. Rachel, thanks so much.
Talk to you, Lottie.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.